The following is an exclusive sports presentation of Extra Sports 1300.
Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player.
Southern Colorado, it's time for your live and local sports talk show.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
Drive Time Sports, presented by Tilted Kilt Pub and Eatery, your sports action hub with over 54 TVs so you don't miss out on the action, located at Woodman and I-25. The only place to hear talk about your teams.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
Here are your hosts, Ryan Kaufman and Chris Braden, with the godfather of Colorado Springs Sports Radio, Wheels.
Good Thursday to you. Welcome to the show. Ryan and Chris coming your way from Lady Jane's Haircuts for Men, 5190 North Academy. Richard Sherman last night was walking the red carpet at the ESPYs, and Jalen Rose asked him about the imbalance or perceived imbalance between pay in the NBA and pay in the NFL, and Richard Sherman had some interesting comments. Take a listen.
If we want to, as a NFL and as a union, want to get anything done, then players got to be willing to strike. You know, I think that's the thing that guys need to 100% realize is you're going to have to miss games, you're going to have to lose some money if you're willing to make the point, because that's how MLB and NBA got it done.
So that's Richard Sherman saying that they got to be willing to strike. Now,
we talked about that last week.
Right, we did. And I want to kind of spin this a little bit further. So the baseball strike, just for a background, was about the owners trying to institute a salary cap.
Yes.
So not necessarily the players trying to get more money. They were trying to keep the money that they were getting by preventing a salary cap from being put in place.
It's not apples and oranges, really, though. But
right, but yeah. It's similar. It's all about money.
Right, exactly.
That's what all these labor stoppages are
yes.
about. The NBA was a lockout, not a strike. The most recent one, anyway, was
right.
a lockout. And that was the splits of basketball-related income, BRI. That's exactly what we're talking about here. The owners didn't like the split, and they locked out the
And they're
the
still
players.
Paying out $200 million contracts.
That is true. So Richard Sherman went on to say in that interview that players think that are under the misconception that if they sign a six-year deal, that's the security. And he's like, they need to realize that if you get a $36 million bonus that's paid out over 3 years, that's your contract. That is your security.
He doesn't think they realize that?
Well, I think he just wanted to reiterate it. And I don't
right.
think
–
no,
true.
Because why are guys – but think about it. Why are guys signing six-year deals when their guarantee is only spread out over the first three?
Because it just makes it look better.
Because exactly.
they all know they're not staying there 6 years at that salary.
Okay.
I mean,
perhaps.
I would think they would be naive to think that was the case.
Okay, perhaps, but he
right.
wanted to reiterate that point.
No, and it's a true point.
Right. So you look at how those two labor stoppages turned out. The players won the strike in Major League Baseball because they kept the salary cap from being instituted. The reason why they struck... They ended up winning on it because
yeah.
there's no salary cap in baseball still. So they won that. The owners won the NBA lockout because they got the BRI split down to 5.5%. So labor negotiations in major professional sports have proven out whoever initiates the work stoppage usually wins.
Right.
Why? The reason is simple. Because you're consolidated, you've already talked to your contingent, and you have solidarity, whereas the other side may see this coming, but they haven't, perhaps they're not quite as on board with heading into a work stoppage. And usually when it comes to work stoppages, the other side wants to keep going,
right?
And one wants to stop. So there's obvious reasons why if you initiate the work stoppage that you usually come out on top when it comes to these. So the next question inevitably with this topic is how would a work stoppage impact the NFL?
Mm-hmm.
I have numbers to tell you, and then you can give me your thoughts about what a work stoppage might look like or if you believe the players would strike. So the players and the owners combined in the NBA lost $400 million over the time that there was a lockout. Ownership lost $580 million, and the players lost $230 million when it came to the MLB strike. The NFL made $13 billion in 2016. By the way, side note, the Packers annual report, because they're a publicly traded company, kind of.
Yeah, I was trying to look for the NFL P&L. And you
the teams made $7.8 billion. That doesn't include the player share. That's just the teams.
Okay.
But the complete number that we have is from 2016, and that's $13 million. By the way, that number with the Packers, up $600K from 2 years ago. So much for the concussions and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But so if the NFL loses a similar amount as Major League Baseball did with their strike, with annual inflation at about 2.2% from 1995 till now, that would mean a loss of $1.3 billion. That's a lot of money, right?
Mm-hmm.
That would still make the NFL the highest revenue-generating sport by $2 billion. You want to talk about too big to fail? The NFL is.
So, and I'm trying to figure out, like, what would be the best salary model for the NFL for the players? Because we talked about it. There's 53 guys on a roster. Like, do they slot them? Like, what do they do? Because it's hysterical. You and I talk. We're not going to talk soccer today. But the NFL's $13 billion. Second place is $9.5 billion, which is baseball, and their players get paid. Now, they still don't have that type. But the Barclays Premier League oversees who everyone – I think Manchester United is the number two-ranked team as far as revenue in the world behind the Cowboys. They only make $5.3 billion. Then you go to the Bundesliga and La Liga, it's only $2 billion. I mean, the NFL swallows all these people up. NFL, the base – I mean, they make more than the baseball and NHL combined. Baseball and NBA combined. They make a little bit less than baseball, NBA, and the NHL combined. That's insane.
So then the inevitable question is, because of that, do you think that it's worth it for the players to strike after the CBA expires in 2020?
Here's the issue, and I've talked to some guys that were a part of like work stoppages in the NFL back in the day. There are the guys like Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, I guess you could put Von Miller, guys like that that are financially secure.
Mm.
But let's just take the roster and cut it in half. Those guys on the bottom half of the roster, most of them aren't like set for life. They live a high baller life. They're not making the Von Miller money and stuff like that. And that's what's going to keep them from being able to get done what the players want to get done.
Right.
It's the guys that work hard for a living, that don't have the big-time bonuses and stuff. And I think that's where it's difficult because you have too much of the haves and the have-nots.
Well, and then the other thing, too, is what you are doing is you are setting up the next generation of football players. You're not necessarily helping yourself, especially if you're in your 30s.
Yeah, but when you only have, like, a, we'll just say, 10-year window to make yours – are you worried about theirs?
Well, that's my
short.
Point.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. That
right.
That's also what makes it difficult to get in line and make a strike happen because you have those who don't make as much money
right.
that need the money.
Right.
But then you also have those people who don't believe that they owe it to the next generation. But here's what I will say. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, no,
like,
I understand.
Like, there are some dudes that are like, I don't care about some kid that's in high school right now
right.
and what he's going to get.
Because I was in high school. I need to get paid now. I
right.
only have 3 years left or whatever.
Exactly. But here's the thing that makes me believe that this is the way that we are headed, the direction we are headed. This NFL in particular, but sports as a whole, is more progressive, more
a lot
to
more
be activist.
No, you're right.
there's a lot more activism in today's NFL, obviously.
Yeah, and Richard Sherman's just one of those guys. There's plenty of them.
Colin Kaepernick, Michael Bennett, Brandon Marshall. Mm-hmm. The list goes on and on and on. So this is a more forward-thinking, progressive union than maybe it was two decades ago. I believe that they feel like this is
how would you feel about
change.
It? Let's say, let's put you in there. What's the NFL minimum salary?
Oh, let's say $350K.
Okay, you're making $350K, which is good money, right?
Right.
But you're only, let's say you're only going to make that money for, let's give you a 6-year career.
The average is like what, 3.5?
Right. So let's give you a 6-year career. Let's just take one of those years off because you're making a statement for somebody else. Would you do it?
I wouldn't be strong enough to do it.
No, I wouldn't do it either.
No.
I'd be like, no, I'm good.
No,
I'll take my 350.
But what I'm saying is today's NFL, I believe, are the type that think about that. They want to, with the kneeling during the national anthem,
right,
with the all the stuff that they have done over the past year or so, shows that they want to affect change, real change. And maybe the kneeling and the...
With 0 years service now in 2017, the minimum salary is $465,000. That's not bad.
Not bad deal at all.
I take that.
They want this era of athlete, especially in the NFL.
I agree
wants
with that,
to
but
that real change.
Even
so,
though there's more, it's a small percentage.
Okay.
I mean,
maybe
it
is, but I think this is the road that we're headed. Either players got to wise up and say, however far you extend my guarantee out, mm-hmm, that's how long I'm playing for you. I don't care about signing a 7-year deal if you're only paying out my guarantee over 3 years.
Now,
make
I'm behind
me a free
that after
again.
Three, like when Vaughn's his bonus is up and he sits out because he doesn't want to play for that, mm-hmm, I am 100% behind him.
Yeah, no, I agree, but yeah, that's what they have to do.
But a work stoppage is like, that's an ominous.
Because the owners aren't going to change. The owners aren't going to change.
No.
So you either got to wise up or you need to do this drastic step that Richard Sherman is talking about.
Sports. You love it. We love it. Even my ex-wife loves it. Which is shocking because it shows her cold black heart is capable of loving something other than herself. Extra Sports 1300.
Hitting the text line at 286-0046 here on Drive Time Sports. By the way, Nuggets general manager Arturis Karnisovas due to join us in about 6 minutes. Less TV money and ratings future should scare the players as well. I don't know, man.
Like, I think the money will come from somewhere because, like, YouTube and Facebook, they're going to start bidding, making more bigger bids on
I mean, we're I'm talking about a macro view of things, but I'm talking macro 5 years, 10 years. The TV rating, the ratings and the money and stuff, that's a 20-25 year thing. Like,
yeah,
they're still going to make money. I don't know when the current TV contracts run out. But
they just re-signed them all like last year.
Right. Plus, people still watch the NFL. Like, a lot of people think that it's doom and gloom and nobody wants to – like, more people watch the NFL than go to NFL games.
Right.
Right? So I'm not at all – I don't think the players should be necessarily worried about that. It's certainly something that can be in the back of their mind. But the biggest thing is – we talked about this the other day. It's not even the bigger piece of the pie. It's the guarantee. These
right.
guys guarantee during their careers and after their careers. That's what they should
well,
be fighting for.
And I think one thing we failed to mention is that Von Miller refused to sign his franchise tag last year, which was a step in this direction. And I think that he called the Broncos bluff, and the Broncos knew they had to have him.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are a Von Miller, you could get away with this. It, like Jamal Charles, like – he couldn't get away with this now, but 3 years ago,
right?
Probably.
If you're, let's make it easy. If you're Paxton Lynch, you can get away with this. If you're Chad Kelly, you probably can't.
No, you're gonna go step to the curb,
right?
For sure.
I don't know. I don't think it's the worst idea in the world.
I don't think it's a bad idea, but like, I think you know, talking to these NFL players, their careers are short. And I think, you know, we all want it to be altruistic and all that kind of stuff. But that's the time of your life where those guys have to be selfish. They've already given away 2, 3, 4 years playing college. They're not making money that. Mm-hmm. So now they're in the NFL. This is the only time they can make money. And I totally understand why people would cross the picket line or not want to do it, because, like, you only have X amount of years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough. I mean, like, just last week we were talking to guys that were free agents or just signed with a team. Like, how willing would they be to give away that opportunity?
It takes a lot. That's
right.
Why there haven't been that many.
Like, I wouldn't. I'd be like, sorry, man.
No, I wouldn't. But again, I
and I think I'm a pretty nice guy. I think of others.
This
I would tell the high school kid. I'd be like, hey, when you get up here, you can do that if you want to.
This group of NFL players are more progressive and welcome activism a little bit more than others, and they want to make a name for themselves by affecting change as well as being really good football
And that's
players.
Easy for Richard Sherman to play because, because he is one of those guys.
That's true. That is very true. Coming up next, the Nuggets introduce Paul Millsap to the media and a bunch of kids at the Montbello Recreation Center earlier today. The man who helped get that deal done, Arturas Karnisovas, Nuggets general manager, joins us next here on Extra Sports 1300. Welcome back. Drive Time Sports here on Extra Sports 1300. Ryan Kaufman, Chris Braden with you at Lady Jane's Haircuts for Men, 5190 North Academy. Come out and join us. Today, the Nuggets unveiled perhaps the biggest free agent signing in franchise history when Paul Millsap signed on the dotted line this morning. Joining us now is the man that made it happen, Nuggets general manager Arturas Karnisovas, is our guest. Arturas, first of all, thanks for joining us down here in Colorado Springs. How are you today?
Great. Thanks for having me.
So as we try to divvy out praise and credit, I would imagine that the bulk of the credit goes to you, right? I mean, yes, Michael Malone and Tim played their role, but at the end of the day, Paul Millsap is in Denver because of Arturas Karnisovas. Is that fair to say?
Hell no. I mean, the all group was great. We were very casual in our pitch, and we tried just to be real. That's all it was.
So, Arturas, bringing Millsap on, how does that change the expectations next year for the Nuggies?
Well, the expectations had better, much better, with Paul on board. Not only offensively that we're going to be versatile with Nicola and Paul up front, and you know, that will help to generate the offense. I think defensively we're going to be better. And the two goals that we have this offseason is to figure out our defense and how to finish games.
What do you think what was the main selling point in the negotiation? When you sit across the table from Paul Millsap, what was the thing that you guys brought up that maybe made his eyes light up, or what do you think at the end of the day made the difference between not getting him and not getting him?
Well, I think each part of our organization made a pitch, you know, from the coach to front office to, you know, Brandon Marshall, that was literally as an example of an athlete, successful athlete, and winning a championship for this community. And I think all these things combined, you know, he was very positive. And we didn't know how much it impacted that he lived in Denver, you know, for 10, 11 years. And his childhood years and how much impact that had. So that was also part of his decision as well. So,
did you guys reach out to Brandon Marshall and the Broncos, or was that them reaching out and saying, hey, we want to help you guys out?
No, I think it was just the personal that Tim Conley has with Brandon from doing some stuff in community and charitable stuff. And just creating, you know, having that relationship, said, you know, hey, we're doing this. Would you like to be part of it? And that's literally how it worked.
Nuggets general manager Arturis Karnisovas joining us here on Drive Time Sports. So with the promotion, do you get a new office and all that kind of stuff?
No, I just get to talk to the media more. That's all. That's all I've changed.
Well, then, hey, that's better than any corner office that you can get at Pepsi Center. I tell you that much, being able to talk to us. Right, exactly. Tim had said during the press conference today that you guys were pretty hard after Paul Millsap for a number of years. You haven't had Nikola Jokic for that long of a time. Did watching Nikola Jokic this year and last year, did it kind of reinforce the fit with Paul Millsap a little bit, because you guys wanted Millsap, but then you didn't have Jokic at that point?
Well, plus Nikola's reemerged this year. Also, players want to play with him. So I think that impacted that as well. You know, Paul wanted to play with Nikola, and I think they can complement each other. You know, Nikola can help him to get layups, and at the other end, I think Paul can help him as well to get easier points than generating most of our offense. So I think it worked both ways, you know, to get Paul over here. We did try to get him for the past 4 years. I know that right when Tim got a job and, you know, and I joined the organization, well, before he joined Atlanta, we made a pitch. And then, you know, during the last 4 years, we tried to get him any way we can. However, Atlanta was so successful with him being, you know, the anchor of their offense.
So NBA fans on the outside looking in, we think that every single team has the same resources. But as far as, like, scouting overseas, you guys at the Nuggets have done a great job with that, and you've been really instrumental with that as far as bringing in Wacho and Nikola and guys like that. How difficult is it to scout overseas?
Well, the most difficult part of it is travel, probably, you know, and the relationships and to decide if player can play or not. I think it's a little bit easier because we have experience in our group to make that decision. I think the travel is, you know, takes toll, but it's easier when you know people around, you know, the leagues and you know, teams. My generation is mostly now either head coaches or GMs on other teams, so it's easy to keep up and gather information.
Wancho looks pretty good in summer league, no?
He did, yes. Yes, he just now, he's on his way back to Spain and getting ready for, you know, for his national team.
What's left on the to-do list for you guys in this offseason?
Well, again, you know, we're still waiting, you know, how this free agency will play out. We're always looking for, you know, upgrades and, you know, however, if we're going to go to, you know, just into season with what we have right now, we'll be pretty happy. You know, a lot of teams say that, you know, we have a issue by having too many good players. We don't see that as an issue, and we're happy with what we have now.
Are we? I know Paul's jersey was printed up on the Rainbow Skyline. Can you tell us, is that going to be something that we're going to be able to see, like the real old-school Rainbow Skyline jerseys at Pepsi Center this year?
Well, we'll see what happens, because the Nike contract goes into effect soon, and we'll see what they decide. It's going to be a you know, joint decision-making in terms of colors and which we're going to choose each night to play. But I think it's going to be, you know, good surprise in terms of, you know, just the quality of gear, and hopefully to see, because it really looks good Paul's name and Skyline over there. So.
Yeah, although you guys could be pretty much in any uniform, and Paul Millsap's name on the back of it would look pretty dang good today. Arturas, we're happy that you decided to stay here. Milwaukee, I hear, not that nice this time of year, so we're happy to have you here in Colorado, and congratulations. Big day for the organization and big day for you guys in the front office. Thank you so much for joining us.
I appreciate it, and thank you for having me.
It's time for Crunch Time.
It's time!
Hey, you hear that?
Do you hear that?
What is that?
What is that?
Yeah, what is that?
What is it?
It's Crunch Time. It's Crunch Time. It's Crunch Time.
All righty, Chris. July 12th?
13th.
Oh, today is the 13th. Thank you.
Yes, and I'm glad it's not
Friday the 13th.
Yeah, I'm with you on this.
Okay, so what is
I got a little history lesson for you guys today.
Okay.
It's National Delaware Day.
Mm.
On July 13th, recognizes the first state to declare independence from the British. Rich in history, Delaware's lands once belonged to New York and later Pennsylvania. But the independent spirit of this beautiful coastal countryside is more than just legendary. Blah, blah, blah.
Joe Biden's from Delaware.
Is he? I wouldn't know that.
Right? Joe Biden?
I never saw his name on my ballot. Who is that?
Stop. You know who Joe Biden is.
It's also...
You won. Trump is in the White House. Why you gotta... Well, you throw shade on the Obama administration.
I didn't. I'm really curious. Who is Joe Biden?
He was the vice president for...
He's not manager for the Orioles?
Pretty good. No, that's Buck Showalter.
Oh, okay. Anyway, so it's National Beans and Franks Day.
Yeah.
Do you like Beanie Weenie?
No.
Are you kidding me? It could be like the perfect food. Pizza and then Beanie Weenie. It's like hot dogs with pork and beans.
Oh,
I'll eat that cold. I've cut up hot dogs into cold pork and beans,
no.
Dude. And then I'm just I can't believe you don't like it.
Frank and beans.
Franks and beans. Yeah, I know. I love that part.
The Office.
Yeah. Have you ever done that, by the way?
What? Said that? Frank and beans?
No, done that. From the movie.
From the – I thought it was from the show. Is it from The Office? What's that from?
No, it's from
The Office.
No, it ain't. It's from The Mary Show with Ben Stiller. Something About Mary.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, you don't remember what happened there?
I don't remember
there?
That part.
Zoop.
Oh, that was... Oh, okay. All right. Yep.
I've done that before, man. It's not a happy day. No. It's also National French Fry Day. So the question is, today's French Fry Day, and we're going to celebrate with Ryan Kaufman's perfect French fry. What is that? Shoestrings, steak fries, regular fries, waffle fries from like over at Chick-fil-A, or like, let's throw tater tots in, because I think tater tots can be considered the fried nuggets from Burger King.
We can throw in tater tots, and then I can throw them out because tater tots are horrific.
You don't like tater tots? Have you ever had a homemade tater tot? Like someone actually like grated it up.
I didn't know that's something.
I didn't know it was something either until I had one. It was delish. Yeah.
Okay. So are we giving credit to establishments for the
best? We
can.
Yes.
Or are we just talking about the style of?
No. Let's get if you're gonna have a French fry, where do you go get it?
I'm probably going waffle fries from either Carl's Jr. or Chick-fil-A, depending on how much of the extra stuff, aka the grease, I want with it. Chick-fil-A is a little bit cleaner in there.
That is true.
Waffle fries, but
they only want fry them once.
I'm a big maybe.
Or they change their grease
more
often.
They put it in a strainer and let all the grease.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I definitely waffle fries, ranch, maybe honey mustard.
What about ketchup?
Dipping sauce? Nah. Nah.
Like ranch. You turned your nose up to Beanie Weenie, and now you're
and
turning your nose up and ketchup.
And ketchup.
Why do you hate America?
I don't hate America.
Okay, so I like all kind of fries.
Besides French fries or ketchup.
I don't care how you cook it. The one thing I don't like, there are a few establishments that I think they're called shoestring fries.
Mm-hmm.
Those do not get from the restaurant to your house before they're like cold and hard.
No, you have to buy those in the can, the crispy ones.
Yes, but when I go to these certain establishments and get fries, they're cold every time when I get home, even if it's like 2 minutes. There's one place I go to that I don't necessarily like their fries, but I like the seasoning on the fries, and I always have about 20 minutes.
Freddy's.
No.
I
have 20 minutes. I like
Freddy's.
Yeah. 20 minutes, I sit there and eat these fries. Red Robin.
Oh.
They're like,
it's my kid's favorite place to go eat is Red Robin.
I don't know if they double fry them or what, and I don't know if I'm just prisoner in the moment.
And they're bottomless.
But, like, the first thing I do when I get there, they're like, hey, do you want something to drink? And I'm like, no, I want fries. And I want
to put some French fries in a blender and I will drink
exactly.
it like a smoothie.
So I wouldn't say that's my favorite fry place, but I would say that's the place where I eat the most fries. The other one's Wendy's.
Well,
they
it's
use
because
sea salt,
they say
man.
It's bottomless. Because they say it's bottomless. If you have
that's why they try to hold out on them.
Right. If you have a limited number of fries that you are getting, you do not eat as many or as fast.
Right.
But if they say you get all you can eat, then you it's psychology.
How many appetizer orders do they, like, mess up not getting because they have bottomless fries?
I don't know, maybe.
That's a big
that's
revenue
really
stream.
My
See,
problem.
Brian's looking over. He knows that's a revenue stream. That they got rid of the bottomless fries, dude, their numbers would go up. Or at least you only get them when your
fine.
Meal comes.
I think they're doing fine. The Kaufman family eats there like 5 days a week.
I put them on my do not list. But we go there all the time.
Ding, fries are done. Ding, fries are done.
That was a good one.
That should just be instead of the bell from now on. So we always love their food questions and there are naming minor league teams. That's basically what we do during this segment of the show.
Yes,
so
I love it.
So next up, the Gwinnett Braves, which, by the way, well, let me just tell you. So they're the AAA affiliate of the Atlanta Braves. They took a bunch of suggestions,
mm-hmm.
distilled them down to six, and now people are going to vote for the next, you know, from the same method that gave you Boney McBoatface and the New Orleans Baby Cakes. Comes potentially, here are the finalists, the Gwinnett Buttons. Apparently, did you know that Gwinnett County's namesake, Button Gwinnett, is a signer of the Declaration of Independence? That is what Gwinnett
is. And that's why they're called the Buttons?
No, they're not called the Buttons. They're called the Braves. This is why.
I just really hate that name because I watched Benjamin Button, and anything with Button on it now I dislike.
Was that
I ripped the buttons off my shirt.
Okay.
Velcro.
By the way, I watched Tour de Pharmacy on HBO last night. Hysterical. It's one of those mockumentary things that
is
Andy Samberg is doing.
Yes, is it
the
one with – yeah, I watched it too. It's the one with freaking
– John Cena and Lance Armstrong.
Lance Armstrong, so there
funny.
You go. Yes, anyway, yes.
You just, I was
and he kept
things watching.
Right. Not being darkened right. the whole time. That was funny. Yes, I saw that. I
okay,
liked it.
So the Gwinnett Buttons, that's the reason for it.
Okay.
Gwinnett Big Mouths, named after the state fish of Georgia, the largemouth bass, blah, blah. Gwinnett Gobblers, the Gobblers celebrates the outdoors, hunting and eating all the foods we love. Let me just tell you, Gwinnett,
Turkey.
Do not pick Gobblers. You will leave yourself open to so many horrific things.
I know,
don't
it'll be
that.
Amazing. I hope you choose that.
The Gwinnett Hush Puppies.
Meh.
Our stealthy hunting dog is sneaking through. I don't want to read that.
What the heck does that have to do with the hush puppies? Isn't that a description?
I don't know. It's something. I have no idea. I don't want to read the description. We don't have enough time.
Sure.
Just Gwinnett hush puppies.
Okay.
Gwinnett lamb chops.
No.
Okay. That's it. It's a kind of a tie-in between the region's love of home cooking. With the tomahawk chop of the Braves and also murdering lambs. I made that last part.
Silence of the lambs.
Right. And then the Gwinnett Sweet Teas, celebrating the laid-back, some say lazy, lifestyle of Gwinnett County while displaying a real sweet look. So Buttons, Big Mouths, Gobblers, Hush Puppies, Lamb Chops, Sweet Teas, name the Gwinnett Braves.
The Gwinnett Geldings.
No, you have to pick.
I'm going Hush Puppies. I kind of like the food angle because of the Birmingham biscuits.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going with the Hush Puppies.
See, I'm going to go with the Sweet Teas, and here's the reason why.
Sweeties.
Because
that's
you
cute.
Can have the Sweet Teas. No, Sweet Tea.
Oh.
Like super sugary tea.
Not Sweeties.
Not like, Sweeties.
Okay.
Sweet Teas.
Okay.
The reason being is because you have to be able to kind of visualize your team being called this. Like, I think people in New Orleans didn't have the foresight to say, what the hell is our logo going to look like if we name this team the Baby Cakes? I think Gwinnett needs to be better into look into the future.
I think
say,
the Baby Cakes, are, it's the baby, right?
It's the baby.
Inside the cake.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's amazing.
But I think Gwinnett has to have a little bit of foresight. So if you're going to name your team the whatevers, what are they? What's their logo going to look like? I can already see the glass of sweet tea.
Yeah.
With the straw sticking out, and then the big cartoonish eyes. Maybe even mean looking.
Oh, like angry eyes? I like
angry eyes on the sweet tea.
Like Anthony Davis eyebrows on it.
With the bendy straw. That will be the logo of the sweet teas.
Or if it's a hush puppy, it could just be a little round oblong thing with a little face. Like the biscuit.
Pretty much all of these would have big eyes.
Yes,
the
I
buttons
agree.
Would have big cartoonish eyes. The big mouse would be – well, the big mouse wouldn't
would have
be
a
because
big mouth.
They would have a bass on there. The gobblers, I don't even want to broach what that logo
turkey.
Would look like.
It would be puppies, like deli meat.
Hush puppies, you're right, with the big eyes. The lamb chops would be a lamb chop with giant cartoon eyes.
They like food items. I like mine for
have
that.
Have you ever been
Can
to
I ride
Georgia?
In? Yes.
Okay.
I've been in the Atlanta airport.
Okay. So we kind of understand why they pick food.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's like I'm surprised all of Houston's teams aren't named after something deep fried.
So Gwinnett Sweet Teas for me. You say the what?
Hush puppies.
You have
I do.
You can vote on the Gwinnett Braves website. I don't know the URL.
I'll find it.
Okay, do you have something?
I do. I was going to ask you. So on ESPN.com, this is a staff report. I was trying to give credit to the writer. They have who they think is going to be the MVP in each division. And this year for the AFC West, they have Derek Carr. And you click read more, and everyone, including people from Kansas City and stuff, are like, Derek Carr, I love Derek Carr, Derek Carr, Derek Carr. So anyway, who do you think is going to be the MVP of the AFC West this year?
Derek Carr. I mean, how can you go with anyone other than Derek Carr?
Does it have to be offense? Because I'm going defense.
Okay, are you going to go with Khalil Mack?
Or Von Miller.
No.
Yes. I love Derek Carr. I'm a fan of Derek
Carr.
Yeah,
I know you're
Carr.
Mocking people, and it's like nobody in Broncos country
I know,
loves
but like,
Derek Carr more than you.
I do like Derek Carr a lot, but I also think that I think defense is going to rule the year. And you got to look at Khalil Mack, Joey Bosa, or Von Miller. One of those three.
Dustin Houston?
What about Philip Rivers? Yeah, Houston too, I guess. I always like just rule out all those Chiefs. They got a quarterback controversy worse than we have here in Denver.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
If Mahomes plays a down in the NFL this year, then it is the Chiefs are 0-15.
And they might be okay with that.
Patrick Mahomes couldn't quarterback
Alex Smith
Alabama
gets
right
like
now.
We talk about Trevor Siemian here. Alex Smith gets zero respect around the NFL.
He's the highest paid player in football now.
I'm talking about what they think he's doing.
The Raiders are
going to
win the division.
Possibly.
So
more than likely.
So that's why. I mean, it's a lazy choice. It's not off the beat.
Who's coming in second if you pick the Raiders? It's not the Chiefs. I think the
I don't
Broncos
know. I haven't
will
decided
better.
Between the Broncos and the Chiefs, to be honest with you.
What about San Diego?
San Diego now.
Dude, they're going to be playing for in front of a full house for the first time in a decade. They're going to be stoked. Get like that 17,000 fans in there. It's going to be amazing.
Ole, ole, ole. Exactly. All right, 2 hours in the books, one more hour to go from Lady Jane's Haircuts for Men. Come by and see us, potentially win 10 grand. More Drive Time Sports next.